We're back in already. You know, we are back in part two. Part two, hashtag Christian Straight Talk. Let's bury the old man and woman. Wowee. I bet there's a few people
that under can think patio, of it. Yeah.
Under the patio. We don't mean it like that. We're not telling you, Christian brothers and sisters, to lift up the slabs and to bury your dearest and nearest. We are talking about self, to bury self, to literally bury ourselves. What do you mean? In the blood of Jesus. To be like that sheep. When you think about that sheep that goes through the sheep dip, we got to be dipped like the sheep in the blood of Jesus. You know, we're not talking about lifting up the slabs and burying a few people. We're talking about coming to the cross and saying, Lord, the old man has got to go. The old woman within me has got to go. That old self has got to go. I can't keep reacting and responding in arrogance and pride and jealousy, frustration. I can't keep reacting like I do. Someone help me. Simon, you're going to take us to a text that literally is a mind-blowing text of the greatest writer that the earth has ever seen within the New Testament.
Within the New Testament, and it's Paul the Apostle, and he's in Romans, and it's Romans 7. And the thing is, Ben, if we are not careful, we can be living the life of a Romans 7 Christian and never get out of that. And look what it says. If you start at, I mean, Romans is great, isn't it? But if you start at 18, he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." So he's saying nothing dwells, good dwells in my own flesh. "For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I do will to do, I do not do, but evil I will to do, not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me."
So, oh, goodness.
What he's saying is, Ben, is I try hard to do what I shouldn't, to do what I should do, but I'm always ending up doing what I shouldn't do.
And he says also, "O wretched man am I, for I know that no good itself dwells in me." This man was used so powerfully by the God of Israel to write the greatest book the world has ever seen. And he is so open and honest. And I love the character of Paul. For I know he's not frightened of telling the world, the culture, the pastors, the leaders, everyone around him, that this is such a difficult area of my life. For I know that no good itself dwells in me, that is in my sinful nature.
And a little bit later on, Ben, he goes, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?"
Who will deliver me?
And he goes, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord."
There you go. Back to the King. Comes back to Jesus. So it should encourage us to read Romans 7 verses 18 to 20. Because what it does, it tells us the fact of being a human being. That the heart is corrupt, the flesh is corrupt. But the Bible also tells us in the scriptures that we went to earlier, "I am a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." And the same writer is telling us here, "For I know that no good itself dwells in me, that is my sinful nature. For I have the desire." Hang on, Paul. He's using a worldly word, a very strong word. "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." I thank God for Paul. I thank God for this scripture, because I'm sick to the back teeth of hearing messages of how great we are and how wonderful we are and how beautiful we are and how everything is so soft and wonderful and everything is roses and vineyards and everything is great. Do you know what? I'm sick of the church giving me false messages. I want to know that I'm a sinner saved by grace, that there's hope in Christ, that I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. And I want to hear messages like this from these texts, you know. "Help me, Lord. I can't carry this out. Lord, I'm trying to bury the old me, but it keeps doing a Lazarus on me, Lord. Lord, I don't want it to come out of the tomb. I don't want Lazarus to come back. I want it to stay. It's so difficult, Simon, isn't it?
It's so difficult, Ben. It's so difficult. The old man is so strong. What it says to me is, we cannot live a life on the fence.
No,
we've got to be all in for Jesus, haven't we?
Because you're going to get a sore bum. You've got to literally
get. The devil owns the fence.
The devil owns the fence. It's so important. You know, this is a continuum. As a Bible-believing believer, you know, we're the John 3:3. You must be born again. You can't see, you can't enter, you can't walk, you can't. Church is irrelevant. The church in the UK is flatlined. Within the West and in Europe, it's flatlined. It is not fit for purpose. I have got to get to the Bible. I've got to get myself a Bible. I've got to not carry my phone into church. I've got to carry the Word of God. I've got to make sure the Word of God is in my van, at home on the table. I've got to make sure the kids see it. I've got to make sure my husband sees it. I'm not talking about myself. I've got to make sure my wife sees it. I've got to make sure my children see it, my work colleagues. I've got to make sure that people know that I am a person of the book, and I've got to carry the book. You know, the book identifies you to the God of Israel. And Paul goes on, the writer of the book, this is what he says in verse 19 as we're moving on, Romans chapter 7, verse 19. For I do not do the good I want to do. Did you hear that? But the evil I do not want to do, oh, thank God he's not doing it, but hang on, he ain't finished. This I keep doing. Paul, anointed, scripture writer, living under the power of the Holy Spirit, the man that has been used the most throughout the New Testament, suddenly says, this I keep doing. Good Ben, God, help me.
It's very easy to live a life of a yo-yo Christian, really.
Yeah.
A Roman servant Christian. It's many people live like that, and they never get out of that, Ben, because
lifestyle.
Yeah, you know,
own self,
just giving in to the desires to the of self. The flesh. Yeah, which is as John wrote in lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life.
Pride of life. What a big one that! I think the pride of life opens up the door to everything. Pride, arrogance, frustration. It knows it. It breeds self. You know, we are living in a world that's very selfish. And it's been very, very selfish. But I think we're living in the world of church and ministry where ministries don't link up like they should be linking up, because our ministry is better than your ministry. Our church is bigger than your church. You know, I've got more people in my church than you got down there, and blah, 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 and all this. I think we're living in a very prideful way within church, religion. We've got to be careful. There's two types of pride in church at the moment. There's the gay pride and there's the pride of leaders. Both very, very dangerous. And, you know, we got to lay everything down at the cross. It's so, so critical. We are looking at Israel, the things that are breaking out in Israel. We are living in end days. You know, the westernized church is so far from the cross of Calvary. Brothers and sisters, whatever denomination you're in, we would urge you and encourage you, grab yourself a Bible. Get to the cross. If you're at work, if you're at home, wherever you capture these broadcasts, these podcasts, we would just encourage you to follow Jesus. Seriously. You know, we're church leaders. We've been in ministry years, and I'm realizing how many mistakes I've made in ministry. This self-propelled, ego-boosting, smoke up my own chimney. I'm the best at this. I'm this. I'm that. When actually I'm nothing. It's all meaningless.
Yeah, pride's huge across.
It's terrible, isn't it,
church,
Simon?
The church, but unless we break this cycle, and we break it, Ben, by getting into the Word, don't we? We break it by praying. We break it by living in the Spirit, and the more Amen. We do it, when these traps and snares come, we'll be able to recognize them. We'll be able to avoid them, and we'll be able to deal with them and get through them. And we'll be able to live a life according to the Spirit, which is Galatians 5:22-23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, we're in, you know. I've got to live in the Holy Spirit. I've got to live in the Holy Spirit, but actually the Holy Spirit lives in me.
That's it, Ben. Is when
so I've got to recognize.
Yeah.
I've got to recognize, hang on a minute, this I don't buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, according to our friend Simon the Sorcerer in the book of Acts, as the two disciples turned around and said, you can't buy the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're actually already within you. The gifts and the love and the power of God is living within you. Realize who you are in Christ. Realize that we are sinners, but we're blessed and highly favored. Realize that you've been delivered. Realize that the Holy Ghost, and the Bible says something, doesn't it, that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit.
That is huge. Think about that. Where is that, Ben? Where does it say that?
Somewhere from Genesis to Revelations, because that just popped out. I haven't got the reference, but I just Simon mentioned the word a moment ago, and I want to back up.
Sealed, man. Sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Imagine that. We'll find that in a minute. We'll grab that online. But I'm going to read this out while Simon's just thinking about going to grab that. Psalms 91, verse 3 to 5 says this. Surely he will save you. What are you going to save me from, Jesus? Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. We've been talking for an hour and 20 minutes about the snare of life, the fowlers. When you look at the snare that gets laid out for the animals, when you look out how the snare is laid, that dangerous piece of wire that is hidden in the undergrowth of life, the fowler, he puts the snare out, he puts that out there, the snare layer, he lays that piece of wire. You've only got to see it, how powerful it is. And what it is a single piece of wire that goes through the loop. It is nailed, staked into the ground. It is hidden. And when the animal puts one foot in, and then suddenly they get hooked in, and as they start to move forward, the snare gets tighter and tighter and tighter. The most dangerous way to capture an animal, the most painful way, is to be caught in a snare. So the Bible says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. The power of the word of God.
It's huge.
Freedom at the cross.
What did we say, Ben? We said, a couple of weeks ago, we said, you know, got Psalm 91,
yeah,
Psalm 23, and the Lord's Prayer.
Three powerhouse scriptures to put on the fridge. So when you go there, you read it, put it on your phone, put it on your desk, put it in your van, put it in your car, put it wherever you go to the most, and read it and read it and pray it through. Link them through. You know, it's powerful.
You said something which I've always thought, Ben, you know, because when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, we are told that the Spirit of our Heavenly Father comes to live within us.
Yes.
So when you get churches praying, oh, Spirit, rain down on me, no,
hang on.
Surely
he
should
be. He's already here.
He's already here.
He's already here. And that is.
Spirit, rise up in me.
Yeah. Raise me up so that I will soar on wings as of eagles, because you, the Bible says, you are filled to the full measure of God. So when we say these words that are going against the word of God, God cannot move, because we don't realize what is and who is indwelling within us. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that was in Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the deep. The Spirit that came down on the birth of the Pentecost.
Ain't that amazing, Ben, that Genesis chapter 1, we hear about the Spirit.
From the kick point. Straight off the bat. And then.
And what's that prayer that goes, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd have to dig that out.
But so the Holy Spirit is so powerful. And it says here, Ben, it's Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance within until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Look at that scripture. That scripture is so powerful. It has everything wrapped up in that scripture. When you analyse that text, you know, I believe that's something that we've got to hold on to, that scripture, really, really strongly, because when you read that, it tells us that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. It tells us so clearly. You know, it talks about redemption. It talks about the power. It talks about the glory of God. You know, the Holy Spirit has been, you've been sealed. It's like a government office. You know, when you get that stamp of approval, it can't be backtracked. It can't be returned. You know, he chose you in him. You are blessed beyond measure. You are a child of the living God, and God is with you wherever you are, but you've got to remember you've been sealed.
Ben, just this book is so amazing. It gives us all the answers for whatever we want, doesn't it? You know, whatever
it really
we get
does.
Ourselves involved with, it says that we will not be tempted beyond what we can bear.
He will make an escape route.
And there'll be a way out, you're right.
There's a way out. The gospel is the way out. God will take you to the wire. He will walk with you to the wire. But there will always be a way out. And it might take you to a place where you think, I ain't going to get out of this. Lord, I'm looking for a door. Lord, I'm looking for a way out. I've orchestrated this situation. Now I'm in a situation. I've made a mistake in a situation. God help me. Do you know what? He will make a way where there is no way. He will open up the door and he will get you out, you know, but it's coming to the point of saying, I've made a mistake. I've walked in this corridor in my skin that I used to walk in. I've made a decision in my old self. Help me, Jesus.
And we're not saying here today that you're going to get victory in an area of life that's troubling you, an area where the old man or woman is set their camp. We're not saying just by one rejection of that stuff is going to work. No, we have to keep doing it on a daily basis to get victory in that area. And then there'll be another area, and we've got to do the same with that. We've got to do the same with that. So really, it's the inches every day that make up the yards.
It's the inches. It's the millimeters. Just that. It's that faith, and it starts off in your mind. Because when you start seeing the things are not as though they are, that's what the Bible says. We serve a God that calls the things are not as though they are. So I start to think in faith. Lord, I see that I'm out of this gambling addiction. Lord, I see that I'm out of the pride of life. Lord, I see myself in the future. Lord, I see myself free from financial pain. Lord, I see myself, because we've got to see it. The book comes to this and says this, Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. So hope is everything. Hope is everything. You know, believe, you know, we serve the God of hope. Faith comes from hearing a message, and the message is heard through the word of God. Faith, let faith arise. Not Holy Spirit, will you fall on me? As in the terminologies of the church. Lord, we want more of your Holy Spirit. You're full to the full measure.
You're full, yeah.
You can't get any more fuller. You are brimming. My cup runneth over.
I think the prayer is, Holy Spirit, rise up through the old man and burst through the old man and come out and let people see the difference in us.
I think we could I put it a bit like this, a bit rawly? We're like an hand grenade. But Lord, I want you to pull the pin, because the hand grenade isn't going to work until you pull the pin. The hand grenade has everything in it. You've got everything within you. The fire of God is within you. The anointing is in you. The anointing is over you. The word is living within you. The fullness. But Lord, pull the pin and throw the pin away, because I want to explode for Jesus. I want to be, dear God, I want to be powerful. I want to be powerful. The hand grenade is no good all the time it's got the pin in it.
I think what you're saying is, quite simply, Ben, is we do our part.
Yeah.
And the Lord does his part.
That's completely right.
Because the battle is his, isn't it?
The battle belongs to the Lord, but pull the pin.
But we have to do something. We have to do something. We can't just sit there expecting our Heavenly Father to do everything. We got to do something.
Yeah.
We've got to take a step in that direction.
We've got to make that leap of faith. We've got to say, God, hold a pin. I want to work for you. Lord, I want to step out. Lord, I want to, I want to live this full life. I want to live a full life in Christ Jesus. I want to live completely for you. Lord, I want to be, Lord, living in faith. I want to be walking by faith. I want to be living in full stretch for Jesus Christ. You are my Lord and my God and my Saviour. But Lord, I can't live this old life anymore. Pull the pin, Lord, so I can explode, Lord. And Lord, just let me be on fire. You know, it's in you. It's in you. Oh, I don't even like to use that term. It's the God that we serve, the God of Israel, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, is living within you. I just want to read a scripture, Simon, that we've been talking about a lot. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 to 14. And I'm going to skip to verse 11 because time is pushing. It says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who worked out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were first to put on our hope in Christ, might be to his praise and glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, when you believed. You were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's purpose, to praise the glory of God." You know, these scriptures are so important. You was in a plan. God knows my weaknesses. God knows our weaknesses. He knows our failings. He knows where the snares are. And we need to pray, Lord, can I float over the snare? Can you get me around the snare? Can you identify the people that are snare layers? The situation, Lord, can you make me sharper? Lord, we understand iron sharpens iron. And I've got to make sure that I'm around Bible-believing believers. If I get caught in things like the weakness of churches together and interfaith, we've got to be careful of interfaith. Because it's very interesting, the interfaith movement is more about them than it is Christianity. So why the Bible is very clear, I've got to be careful of the people in the circle that I keep company with. If I'm in churches together, are they Bible-believing believers? If I'm in interfaith at work, you know, I've got to make sure I've got to be careful that I don't become ostracized and become in a holy little bubble. But I've got to go into all the world. And what we don't want is the world to come into all of us. We've got to go and tell the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The most amazing thing is, Ben, when we become born again, spirit-filled believers, you know, spirit-filled. So we are filled with the Spirit. So the Bible tells us the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is in us.
Amen. So when you think about that.
But what we've got, Ben, what our Heavenly Father gives us, He gives us Jesus.
Yes.
And we totally surrender to Jesus. We accept him as our Lord and Saviour. Jesus gives us access to the Father.
Oh, my goodness gracious,
man. And he also fills us with the Holy Spirit. Look what we've got on our side, Ben.
Look, we've got Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are equipped.
We're in the majority.
We are. We are equipped.
But I don't think anyone's teaching this sort of stuff and saying to you, you've got everything that you need. For the battle.
For everything for the battle. And actually, the battle is not yours. But you've got to be dressed. You've got to be dressed and ready. You've got to have the full armour. Don't pick up the armour of flesh, because the armour of flesh isn't armour. What you've got to do is you've got to pick up the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Your feet are fitted, I think, which is really interesting, the gospel of peace. You know, you've got a belt around your waist. You know, you're buckled up with truth. When you get dressed in the Word, when you get dressed, you're not getting dressed in pride and arrogance and lust and world. You're getting dressed in the Word of God. We've got to be dressed in the Word, you know, and don't take the armour off. Don't keep hanging it up.
And what I'd suggest, if you're out there, a journal is a good way to keep a note of these things.
Amen.
The little victories you get each day.
Hallelujah.
Them little millimetres, as Ben said, them little centimetres, them little inches, turn into feet, turn into yards, turn into metres.
Yeah.
So each day we got a little victory.
Every day.
Make a note of it and celebrate it.
That's right. And attach yourself, literally attach yourself to the scripture. Literally get a Bible and hold on to the Bible. Literally take it wherever you go. We can't be relying on these devices because they are the biggest distraction in the world, in church, in ministry, in life, every area. Get yourself a Bible and get into that motion of putting the Bible in your briefcase, your suitcase, in your rucksack. Carry the word, not through electronical means, because that's a bit of an easy way. That's a bit of a cop-out. We've got to literally make the conscious effort of grabbing a Bible and putting it in your bag wherever you go, leaving it on your seat of your car, leave it on your front seat. If you ever get to a point of frustration, just look at the word. Even open a scripture up, lay it on your front seat, put it up, open Psalm 23, leave it open there. And if you get into an area, just look at it. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Start looking at the word.
And don't forget, you know, if you do fall, and we do make a mistake.
We will fall.
Every single day in thought, word and deed.
Yes.
You've got the loving arms of Jesus, the blood of Jesus to forgive you.
Because of redemption.
Around. Yeah, you can just come to Jesus with it. This stuff.
Bring it to the cross. Verse 14, Simon has mentioned redemption, and we're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So you've got redemption. Salvation is redemption. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus through the living word. So let's bury the old man and woman. Let's all be open and honest and literally say, Lord, I can't live in this skin anymore. Lord, I'm living a lie. I'm living a lie. Lord, I want to live in the truth. I want to live, dear God, in the way of Jesus, the Jesus suit. I want to live in the biblical suit. I want to put on that fresh suit every day. And I don't even want to take it off, Lord. I actually want to be in the armor. I want to be in your love. I want to be under your grace. Living in holiness. What a challenge.
That's a great challenge. And let's get victory in our lives. And let's move on with our Heavenly Father to the next level. And the more exciting stuff he's got for us.
Yes.
First of all, we've got to clean out the old man and the old woman.
Have a spring clean through.
And get rid of them. Get them out.
Amen.
Each time. And you know what, Ben? When you do that, you'll get freedom.
You'll get freedom. And it comes from that good old book. You will know the truth. And what happens, Simon, when you know the truth?
Well, it will set you free, Ben.